Welcome to For Real Conversations, the podcast discussing the heartwarming and sometimes challenging world of life with our pets. I'm Lauren, a clinical animal behaviourist, and I'm going to embark on a journey to have honest conversations, discuss realities, and share stories of the joy, love, occasional chaos, and let's be honest, sometimes stress and anxiety that our fairy friends bring into our lives. When it comes to our pets, the conversations here are for real.
Having just come back from a week away in the UK on holiday with my family and dogs, I thought I would chat a bit about my journey with Poppy and how far we've come with her reactivity and how her reactivity has affected me and affected her and where we're at with it now. I've spoken before plenty about how life with Poppy hasn't always been easy and reactivity has definitely been a part of that. So when I say reactivity, what I mean by that is that when out and about, Poppy can become reactive to people or other dogs, traffic, anything that she finds uncertain or scary out in the big wide world. If she's not sure, she can show that by reacting, and that might be barking or lunging or growling or pulling towards whatever the trigger is. And Poppy didn't initially show this when she came to us. She was quite reserved and very much within herself out and about. But as she started to grow in confidence and become more familiar with her new surroundings when she came over to the UK as a Greek rescue dog to live with us, she initially showed her worry in a much more subtle way. And then as I said, as she became more familiar, then she started to, her behaviour started to become a little bit more problematic and harder to manage. So we've worked hard on that over the years, and she's shown massive improvement. And having just taken her away on holiday, it was such a good reminder of exactly how far she had come, because she was able to do so much that at one point I just never thought she'd be able to cope with particularly well. And I think one of the main reminders for me was actually how far I've come in the learning curve of living life alongside Poppy and helping her with her reactivity. Because there was certainly one point in the beginning when I just thought there was absolutely no hope, and I hated walking her because I just found it so anxiety inducing and embarrassing and just hard to get by. Every time she would lunge or react at another dog, I would just feel so embarrassed that I couldn't really understand why she was doing it, and I couldn't do anything to stop it. And I felt at that point, I guess I just couldn't understand why she was doing it and why she wasn't just this happy dog who wanted to meet other dogs. Because before I got into behavior and started learning more about dogs, I just assumed that dogs were social species and that they would and should like every other dog that they come across. And if they meet a dog on a walk, they'd have a sniff and have a play, and that would be that. So having this dog, which would then react and actually seem aggressive and seem to not like other dogs, was just a really strange concept to get my head around. So like most things, I got my head around it by just trying to find out as much as possible. So I love to actually really, so even before I got into behavior in an academic sense, I just love to find out exactly what was going on, because it helps my head figure things out if I really understand exactly why things are happening. So I researched loads into reactivity and started looking into the science about why was Poppy doing this. And I soon learned that it wasn't actually that she was just doing it for the sake of it. She wasn't an aggressive dog. She was just actually really uncertain in her surroundings. And that really helped me to be able to understand why she was doing it, have empathy for her in that situation, and actually be able to work with Poppy to help her find better ways of coping in these situations. And so I put in a lot of work with copy. It definitely wasn't an easy or quick journey. It took years of hard work to help her learn new strategies for coping. And she's come a long way. However, she's always going to have this anxious temperament because of her genetics and her history and trauma she's been through in her early years and lack of socialization. So it is always a case now with Poppy of just trying to help support her as best possible. And a lot of that has included just trying to set her up for success within her environment and trying to avoid putting her in environments that she struggles to cope with. So, for example, we stopped taking her out to busy places because she just wouldn't cope particularly well. She wouldn't enjoy the experience. And even if she wasn't behaving in a seemingly problematic way, such as lunging and barking and pulling and growling, she would still often just look terrified in the situation. She would have her tail tucked between her legs and be shaking and hiding behind us and just visibly trying to avoid situations. And I think that's such an interesting point, because reactivity can stem from lots of different places in dogs. And I think it's often a misconception that reactivity is a dog behaving aggressively or behaving problematically, when actually it can manifest in lots of different ways and stem from lots of different places. So the root of Poppy's reactivity and a lot of her struggles in life is through anxiety. She's a very anxious dog. However, in individual situations, different elements can creep in. So sometimes she may just be really fearful in the situation. So for example, she is particularly worried by large breed dogs. So shepherd type is one in particular, because when she first came to us, we had a negative experience where an off-lead German shepherd chased her and she was on lead and she couldn't escape because of the lead. The lead doesn't allow a dog to escape. So she was trapped and cornered, and this dog had completely playful intentions. It just wanted to play with her, but she did not see it that way. She was petrified, and it was not a fun situation for me, because I at that point did not have a clue what to do to help her. She was wrapping herself around me, getting tangled. This German Shepherd was desperately trying to get to her. The owners were nowhere in sight. And ever since then, she's been really worried by these large breed dogs, just because of that one in particular experience. So in that instance, if she sees a larger breed dog, she will often have a fear-based response. And equally, if she's somewhere busy where there's lots going on and she's overwhelmed and just doesn't quite know how to cope, she will be very fearful. So she will often tuck her tail between her legs and shake and just really go into herself. So a lot of the time, I actually have people say to me in these situations, oh, she's a really good little dog. She's being really good. And that's true. She is. She's standing nicely. She's not putting her paw out of place. But actually, she's really not happy in those situations. And for me, that's not what I want. That's not a good sign, because I want her to feel, or any dog to feel, confident and happy when they're out and about. And to be able to cope with situations, and if they can't cope, to have coping mechanisms to try and make situations easier for them. So yes, she is behaving, but is she actually enjoying the situation? Probably not, based on the body language she shows. And so the recent holiday we went on was a really good example of this, because we did have one day where we went out to somewhere that turned out to be busier than what we were expecting it to be. So this was a bit of a struggle for Poppy. And while we usually try and avoid these situations as much as possible, sometimes inevitably in life we find ourselves in situations that can be a challenge. And this was definitely the case for Poppy. She was struggling because, although she did have space, there was lots of people around. It was quite noisy. It was quite busy. We weren't necessarily anticipating this. And she was visibly quite uncomfortable in the situation. She was shaking and she had her tail between her legs. So what I did was try my best to support her as much as possible in that situation by trying to give her as much space as possible, trying to reassure her without making too much of a fuss, encouraging her to engage as much as possible with the environment. So by taking her over to areas with long grass and trees so she could displace her worry and anxiety onto another activity such as sniffing, which is quite good because it can help the brain relax in dogs, because it's a large area of a dog's brain is dedicated to analysing smells, so it just helps really offer them an alternative behaviour than needing to really focus on what's worrying in the environment. So that was how I supported Poppy in that environment, and I definitely noticed afterwards that she was very, very tired from the situation, and it was just a case of being as aware as possible and trying to support her through it as much as I could. And I think as long as we are really acknowledging how our dogs are experiencing something and feeling about it, then that's going to really help us to be able to support them and recognize how we can help them in the future. So fear is definitely an issue with Poppy, and it is an element of a lot of her problematic behavior. However, fear isn't the only reason behind her reactivity. Another area which impacts Poppy's behavior in lots of different situations where she may show reactivity is frustration. And frustration can be a really negative emotion. It's not a nice feeling to experience. I think most of us have experienced feeling frustrated at some point, and our dogs also feel that in certain situations, and it can cause overreaction. It can cause them to act in an aggressive manner, because frustration isn't a nice feeling, and it triggers that fight or flight response of either needing to flee a situation or fight to defend themselves. So one reason Poppy will often show frustration is if she's on a lead and another dog does approach her, particularly if another dog is off lead or doesn't respect her space, she will become frustrated because she can't escape. So often that frustration will then add to any fear or any worry or uncertainty she's feeling in that situation. And that mounts up to an incredibly negative experience of feeling that then will result in her feeling like she has no other option but to show that by being confrontational and showing her teeth or growling and lunging and biting if she is really pushed. Obviously, we do our absolute best to avoid needing to put her in that situation. But as I think most dog owners, particularly dog owners who have a reactive dog and feel the need to avoid situations, have probably experienced, sometimes dogs will run up to you, and it can be a very difficult situation to be in. And that's definitely something I've experienced a lot with Poppy, trying our best to avoid other dogs on walks, to try and give her her space and avoid confrontation and avoid the need for her to show any aggressive responses. But there have certainly been times where other dogs have ran up to her off lead and she has reacted. And that can be a very difficult, frustrating situation to be in for the human at the other end of the lead as well as the dog. So frustration can also stem from actual motivation for social contact. So Poppy isn't an unsociable dog. So she does enjoy contact with other dogs as long as it's within what she's comfortable with, as long as she's able to go about the situation in a way that she's comfortable and happy with. So if we meet dogs that she knows, she will absolutely enjoy sniffing with them, enjoy interacting, enjoy playing. So she lives with my other dog, Ivy. She loves, they often play outside and have a great time together. She will enjoy walking with other dogs. However, what she doesn't like is her space being invaded. And that's very much the same with humans. She's very much contact on her own terms. She doesn't always like to be touched, and she will absolutely love a fuss, but very much on her terms. And that's the case with humans, with dogs. So certainly not the case that every dog is going to love every other dog. I think just like us humans, we might gel better with some people than others. I think that's just the same with dogs. Some will prefer one type of dog to another, and that's just completely normal. And I think it would certainly make dogs' lives a lot easier in general if that was more accepted, that dogs might not necessarily want to socialise with others, or they might be selectively social, so they might want to play and interact with some, but perhaps not others. And that's definitely the case with Poppy, and there have been many examples where she will be selectively social based on how the interaction goes. So if a dog is very much in her face and being too much, she's not going to be a fan of that at all. So she will become a little bit defensive. She'll be protective of herself. She might feel the need to become confrontational if she's pushed and if the other dog doesn't back off. So, for example, she might start by baring her teeth to show that she's not happy. And if the other dog doesn't then back off and take that on board, then she might escalate that to a growl and eventually a snap if she feels really uncomfortable. So actually, that's not her being nasty. It's not her being mean. It's not her being aggressive. It's just her trying to show, I'm not comfortable in this situation. I want you to back off. However, if another dog is much more polite, so they approach her gently, have a nice sniff, let her then have a sniff of them, then she's usually much more on board. And it very much varies dog by dog. Some dogs she gels with really well, others not so much. And I think that's something that definitely needs to become more accepted in dog ownership, that dogs should have the choice and the ability to express whether they want that social interaction or not. And it shouldn't necessarily be assumed that a dog is going to want to interact with another dog. So we actually had a really nice example on holiday when I was holding both of my dogs, Ivy and Poppy, and a lady approached us with her 5 or 6 month old border collie, lovely young dog. And the dog approached and the dog was clearly quite keen to interact. So Ivy is a very sociable dog, very happy to interact. So she went straight over for a sniff and Ivy and this dog had a nice sniff and interaction. And they were both quite comfortable and happy. And Poppy actually went to hide behind my legs. So the owner was able to recognize this and said, oh, that one definitely doesn't want interaction, but this one does, pointing to Ivy. And that was such a lovely observation from her, because she recognized that Poppy clearly did not want to say hello, but Ivy was very keen to. So Ivy and this dog were able to have a nice, positive interaction. And Poppy was able to just take herself off and hide behind my legs, watch what was going on. And then what she actually decided to do was to come out and actually say hello, because she'd observed Ivy saying hello to this other dog and decided to come out and have a little investigate. And this other dog was incredibly polite and they had a nice little sniff. And that was that. And it was a really lovely interaction because Poppy had been able to choose to come out and say hello. And this other dog wasn't particularly pushy. So it was really, really nice. And what actually helped that was the other owner's recognition and understanding of my dog's behaviour. And that actually allowed us to set our dogs up for really nice, positive interactions that didn't go too far. Because if she'd come over and just absolutely just let her dogs charge over, then Poppy might have not had the chance to actually observe the situation, take her time and decide that it was actually something she wanted to engage in. So that was a really nice experience and definitely the sort that I like to encourage as much as possible. So I think it's really important to recognize that with reactive behavior in dogs, it's not necessarily just a case that a dog is aggressive. Usually there's some sort of motivation behind that behavior. It's not the dog just doesn't like other dogs. There can be many different reasons, as I said. And it's not always the case that a dog is necessarily fearful, because so often I hear that people have labelled dogs that show reactivity as being fearful. And actually, that's not always necessarily the case, because sometimes it may just be frustration-based that actually they really want social interaction. They really want to interact and meet and play and experience time with other dogs they see. But actually, when they are frequently prevented from doing that, so whether that's on lead or owners taking them away when they see another dog, that can actually be incredibly frustrating, because that motivation for social contact and interaction is blocked and stopped So those feelings of frustration build to the point where the dog just cannot cope with it and just shows that by needing to show that frustration in lunging towards. And often that can seem like incredibly aggressive behavior, and that can be very hard to manage. If you're at the other end of the lead, it can be really, really difficult if your dog is lunging and pulling. And I think sometimes it's quite easy to assume that avoidance is the best strategy, and that the dog isn't sociable, and that the dog can't interact with other dogs and has no social skills and doesn't want to socialize because they're showing that behavior. Whereas actually, their motivation is that they really do want to. They're just being prevented from it so much that they start to not be able to cope with the situation, because they're just anticipating being prevented from what they want. So there's so much to reactivity, and it's really important to actually try and figure out what's going on for each individual dog and figure out where their tolerance lies, what they can cope with, what they can't cope with, what they're actually wanting and needing from the situation. And sometimes it is a case that we can't necessarily avoid a situation. So I think it's particularly the case if you're in a busy area, or you have no option but to walk in a busy area and you just cannot avoid situations, it can be really difficult. And that's why actually trying to come up with coping strategies that recognize the individual dog's motivations for reactive behavior can really, really help. It's really interesting because I think I mentioned before that Ivy, my other dog, is incredibly sociable. She generally likes other dogs. She loves people. I've had her since a puppy, and I did work really hard to try and make sure that she had positive interactions as a puppy with other dogs. I tried to make sure that she had the opportunity to build good play skills, to build social skills, to make sure that she was able to learn to approach other dogs politely and also be able to leave other dogs alone. Living with Poppy has certainly helped her recognize body language from other dogs. So Poppy certainly helped her when they lived together to signal exactly when enough was enough. She's learned from Poppy's body language, so she is very observant on other dogs and knows when she's taken things too far, when she needs to back off. And those sorts of social skills are really important for dogs to develop, as long as they are helped along the way. So definitely leaving dogs to it is not usually a good idea. And yeah, so generally Ivy is really happy to engage with other dogs. She is also quite good at ignoring other dogs, so that's a skill I've worked really hard on. So she generally runs loose with me when I'm out on our land, and we're on a popular dog walking route, so there's often people walking past. So I've worked really hard to teach her to ignore these people and other dogs walking past, so that I don't need to worry that every time a dog walks past, she's not going to clock them and want to run straight over. So she's very good in that sense. However, one thing I did notice on holiday was that Ivy did actually start to show some what would be classed as reactive behavior when we were out and about. So generally, she would start off an outing being her usual self, being very happy, very positive, interacting with other dogs. If they were happy to do so, she'd go and give them a sniff and have a nice interaction. However, then she would start to become, towards the end, after we'd been out a while, she'd had a long walk, she'd had lots of exercise, she'd had lots of mental stimulation, she'd start to become just a little bit more harder to distract or to get her attention in situations. Her arousal levels would rise quicker and she would struggle to recover from them. So what I mean by that is, if a situation was stimulating, she would get aroused very quickly and that fight or flight response would kick in, and she would then struggle to come back down from that and calm down as she normally would. So what this would then result in is seeing another dog and barking a few times. So thankfully, because of all the work I've put in with Ivy to try and habituate her and get her used to situations with other dogs and is used to ignoring things going on in the distance, she's able to recover from that. So she would bark two or three times and then I would be able to get her attention back quite quickly. But I started to notice a pattern there quite quickly that this would happen after a few hours of being out and about and she would be getting very tired. So it's definitely important to note that when we do take dogs away on holidays or on outings and they have been out and about, or maybe we've taken them into a pub for lunch and or taking them on a long walk or they've been on a car journey, is that these things can be very tiring for our dogs. And that includes both physically tiring, so wearing them out or walking and exercise, and mentally tiring, so using their brain, just watching the world go by, meeting different people, meeting different dogs, taking in all the new smells, taking in the surroundings, watching what's going on, maybe playing with other dogs, playing with toys, whatever it might be. That's all really working their brain and is very tiring. And I did really start to notice a pattern that Ivy would start to show this behavior. And that it was basically my signal to say, okay, she's really tired. She's had enough now. She's struggling to cope in the situation. She's struggling to calm down and recover and settle down because basically she's tired. So she's not really a reactive dog. She's perfectly capable of meeting other dogs. She's perfectly capable of interacting. But basically this behavior, this barking came down to the fact that she was tired and overstimulated and just enough was enough. So in that situation, the really obvious solution was just to take her home and just let her have a really long rest to be able to recover, to be able to sleep and get some nice calm rest in so that she could then get back to her normal self where she wasn't getting so aroused so quickly and where she wasn't struggling to then recover back down again. And so that sort of behavior may be classed as reactive, and it could be really worrying if you notice your dog suddenly starting to bark out of nowhere despite them usually being a calm, happy, sociable dog. And actually it's really important that we do consider that our dogs can be impacted by tiredness, by pain or discomfort. So if they've been walking for a really long time and they have a chronic underlying medical condition that may be diagnosed or undiagnosed, that might well be impacting them and they might start to feel uncomfortable, just like if we go out and walk a really long way and we've got, say, a sore knee, that's going to aggravate it. It's going to make us sore. It's going to make us painful. And that is going to reduce our tolerance and make us more likely to snap or be grumpy. And that's exactly the same with our dogs. And again, so tiredness with Ivy, and it's definitely not just on this holiday. I've noticed this with Ivy a lot, that she will often become a lot less tolerant with Poppy when she's tired. So if Poppy will approach her and she's had enough, if she's been out with me for a long time, we've done some training, she's ran around for hours, she's exhausted, and Poppy approaches her, she will sometimes give her a little grumble, a little growl to say, no, don't approach me now. I'm not tolerant of it. I'm not gonna accept it. And that's okay. And I know that we don't like to, it's not nice to hear a dog growl. It's not nice to have that worry. But actually, in these sorts of contexts, it's just the dog asking for their space and just letting us know that they've had enough. And really, that should just be respected and them given their time to rest and relax and take themselves away before they need to escalate that response, because that escalation is what we absolutely at all costs want to avoid, because that might escalate to growling, snapping, and eventually biting. So yeah, despite Ivy's seemingly reactive behavior on those examples, I certainly wouldn't consider her a reactive dog. It was just that in those moments, that tiredness just meant that her tolerance was dramatically reduced and that she was struggling with the sight of other dogs because it was perhaps frustrating for her and she was feeling overstimulated and just conflicted because she wanted to approach the other dog, but she was actually also feeling exhausted and like she just needed to rest. And so those feelings were conflicting with each other and meaning that she was just really struggling with the situation. And then that in itself was causing overstimulation and her body just not knowing how to cope. So she was then coping by barking. So basically, it just became an overwhelming situation. So those are a few examples of reactive behavior with my dogs. Very different examples, which both manifest in the same way. So in the examples I've given, both Poppy and Ivy show reactive behavior, which may look the same on the surface. So barking, because that's certainly something Poppy has done in the past. And Ivy in these situations showed this reactive behavior in the form of barking. However, both dogs have very different motivations behind that behavior. And so I think what I'm trying to get across is that we cannot deal with reactive behavior in our dogs with a one-size-fits-all approach, because there are very different reasons behind that behavior. And there may be other dogs out there which are reacting for completely different reasons. So as I briefly mentioned, pain could be one. Frustration is the massive one. Might be just due to trauma with other dogs in the past. It might be that they're just not remotely socialized and don't know how to interact with other dogs. It could be fear-based. It could be trauma-based. There are so many different motivations which might apply to why the dog is behaving like that. So we need to take that into account before we actually think about the best way to help that particular dog.
Thank you for joining us for Real Conversations. I'd love to learn more about the experiences you've had with your pets. So message me on social media or drop me an email to let me know what conversations you want to hear. If you'd like to learn more about me and my dog or cat behaviour support options, you can head to my website, wagandpairpetbehaviour.co.uk. I'll be back soon to continue these for real and honest conversations. So until next time, remember, it's okay to take things one paw at a time.